Last week, we added the Atlanta Hawks to the list of teams that could be interested in trading for Jerami Grant either before or on draft night. In today's episode, we're adding the Miami Heat to that list.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. That is the best way to support the podcast. We're on our way to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On with the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, you want to find the best way to support the podcast, YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Before we get into what we want to talk about on today's podcast, I have to give a movie suggestion just for you guys out there. That Lightyear movie, the Buzz Lightyear movie, fantastic. Absolutely loved it. You see Buzz in the background over there with Woody in my videos. Absolutely loved it. Fantastic movie. I loved it. Anyways, don't say I never did anything nice for you guys. Anyways, we're adding a team to the list of teams that could be interested in trading for Jerami Grant either before or on draft night. I guess it could probably happen after draft night too, but there's a list of teams that could be interested in trading for the Pistons' biggest asset. And last week, we talked about the Atlanta Hawks. According to a report as of, what's today, 19th when I'm recording this, there was another report that came out. And this one concerns the Miami Heat. Now, this one's from Adam Barai. I hope I said his name right. He's an NBA insider and contributor for Bleacher Report and Sports Illustrated Now. He tweeted out, quote, sources, Jerami Grant's trade candidacy has been heating up over the past few weeks. Concerns over his extension have stalled potential suitors from seriously engaging with Detroit as of now. As previously reported, the Blazers and Hawks are teams to watch now. Add the Miami Heat to that list. First of all, I just want to say to you guys that the part about the extension, you guys remember I told you guys, I believe on the last podcast, that I had heard already that the concern about how much he would want to be paid and his price number that Jerami wants and what is expected, what he's expecting to get. Some people feel like he's being overpaid if he gets that number. I told you guys that on the last podcast. This report right here seems to back that kind of statement up that I was telling you guys about. That's first. Second, let's talk about how the Miami Heat could get Jerami Grant. And there's only really one trade that I see that even is possible there. We'll talk about that coming up. I want to tell you guys about the positives from it. This is the one trade where I find myself, it's tough. I can't get a yes or no answer. I think I'm leaning one way, and I'll tell you guys which way I'm leaning later on. But this trade definitely is one of those ones where I get why some Pistons fans would be like, no, absolutely not. This is not one of those ones where I'll say, oh, you're overpricing Jerami Grant. No, this is one of those ones I completely agree. This one is a little bit tough. So let me go ahead and give you guys the trade offer that I have. And again, I do all my trades over at fanspo.com. I think it's the best trade machine out there. I don't suggest you guys do the ESPN one or whatever. I like Fanspo. It takes into account all the contract rules, draft pick rules, etc. I like this one. So anyways, the trade that I have pulled up right here is Jerami Grant going to Miami and the Pistons receiving Duncan Robinson, this year's first-round pick from Miami, which is number 27, and next year's first-round pick from Miami, top three protected. That works financially. That works with the draft pick rule. All Miami would have to do, they just can't actually submit the trade before they make their pick. They'd have to make the pick at 27 for the Pistons. Then they'd be able to submit the trade to avoid the Stipian rule. So, like I said, I want to talk about the positives and the negatives that could come with this trade. So I want to start off with the positives, though. The positives are Duncan Robinson is one of the best shooters in the entire NBA. And honestly, you know what? Let's hold off on Duncan Robinson, actually, because I think the real award, the real reward from this trade are the two draft picks, obviously. You get Troy Weaver, another draft pick in this year's draft class, which, depending on who you talk to, a lot of people I see call it a weak draft. But either way, getting Troy Weaver, who's supposed to be a good drafting GM, that's where he's going to make his money. Getting him another first-round pick is always going to be a plus, and maybe he can use that to try a package and move up into the mid-rounds, maybe 27, and a second round pick to move up. Who knows? But there's all kinds of things you can do with that. Again, getting Troy Reaver another selection is always a good thing. And then getting a pick in the 2023 draft. I told you guys this on last podcast. We've had multiple people on the podcast who do a bunch of draft stuff, a bunch of scouts, say that next year's draft is going to be amazing. It's going to be incredibly deep. It's going to be full of talent, and everyone's looking forward to that draft class. So I've been saying for the last few weeks now that if the Pistons can find a way to get a pick in that draft class, I think that would be a major, major win. They need to get another pick in that draft class. From what it sounds like, it's going to be incredibly amazing. So having two picks in that draft class, again, I think it would be great. So I think that right there is the real reward of this trade. Now let's talk about Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson is one of the best shooters in the entire NBA. This past season, on a down year, okay? This is on a down year. He shot 37% from deep on a ton of volume, about 7.8 attempts a game. And if you go over to his synergy chart, this past season, again, this is a down year for him. He ranked in the 79th percentile on spot-ups, scoring 1.1 points per possession. Ranking is very good. In handoff situations, 78th percentile, 1.04 points per possession. Again, ranking very good. Coming off screens, ranked in the 62nd percentile, scoring 1.0 points per possession. Again, this one, a ranking of good. In transition, he ranked very good, the 72nd percentile, scoring 1.23 points per possession. He's just an incredible shooter, as you can see by the numbers. In all jump shots, he ranked in the 82nd percentile, scoring 1.10 points per possession. Again, another ranking of very good. In all jump shots off the dribble, he ranked in the 96th percentile this past season, scoring 1.25 points per possession. Again, this is what's considered a down year for him. If you want to go to his previous season, which was much better, this one was much more on par with what you had seen from him over the last two seasons before this. This past season was the down year. The two seasons before then, this lines up more with that. Two seasons ago, 85th percentile as a spot-up shooter, 72nd percentile as a handoff, coming off handoffs, 88th percentile coming off screens. I lost myself right here. Okay, all jump shots, 94th percentile, 1.22 points per possession. Around the basket, he was even really damn good. He ranked in the 95th percentile. Catch and shoot-wise, he ranked in the 84th percentile. All jump shots off the dribble, 90th percentile. So simply put, he's one of the best shooters in the entire NBA, and he instantly would be an incredible addition to the Detroit Pistons. Mind you, this Detroit Pistons team this past season ranked 29th in the NBA in all jump shots. They ranked 28th in the NBA in all catch and shoot opportunities. They ranked 29th in the NBA in all jump shots off the dribble. When it comes to spot up, 27th in the NBA. When it comes to handoffs, 24th in the NBA. Off screens, 28th percentile or 28th rank in the NBA. So the things that he's exceptional at, the things he's one of the best in the league at, are the areas that the Detroit Pistons struggled with mightily this past season. So he would directly help a need that the Detroit Pistons need. And he would provide a lot of spacing for Kay Cunningham. Him as a player, Duncan Robinson, the player, would be a great fit with the Detroit Pistons. He would, again, address a need, and he comes with two first-round picks, one of them in a heavy and loaded draft class next year. So those are the positives, okay? Like I said, there are some negatives, though, that give people reason to pause and have given me reason to pause. We'll talk about those negatives when we come back. But first, I had to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action today. And something that we're going to be talking about in the third segment today, who will the Pistons draft with the fifth overall pick? According to BetOnline.net, they have the odds on favorite to be Keegan Murray at minus 120. After him, they have Jaden Ivey at plus 250. After Jaden Ivey, Benedict Mathurin plus 475. Then they got Shane Sharp at plus 650. And Dyson Daniels, who's a name that's starting to creep up a little bit, at plus 1400. Who do you think the Pistons are going to draft? If you feel good about those numbers, head over to BetOnline.net. Do what you got to do with those. Again, make sure you're checking out their website or use your mobile device to know more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast on our road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown, we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. So we just got done talking about the positives of the trade for Jeremy Grant, for Duncan Robinson, and two first-round picks, including one this year and one next year. We talked about the positives. There are some negatives. The negatives are, obviously, the first-round pick this year is not that high. It's 27. It's at the end of the first round in a, what people are considering a weak draft. So while, yes, you're getting Torrey River, another crack at the apple in the first round, it's still a late-round pick. And it's not great value, so there's that. Also, you're basically trading Jeremy Grant. In my belief, Miami's going to have to attach a pick to move Duncan Robinson. Now, that's an argument in and of itself. Some people believe he's not a negative asset. Some people do believe he's a negative asset. That right there is enough of an argument there. So who knows if the Miami Heat even view him that type of way or if the market views him that way. But to me, I think they probably will have to move him with the draft pick. So essentially, you would be trading Jeremy Grant for the 27th pick. Duncan Robinson, next year's first-round pick. The first-round pick is coming to Detroit because you're taking on Duncan Robinson and his contract, which we'll talk about later. So essentially, you're really just trading Jeremy Grant for the 27th overall pick if you want to look at it that way. If you're big into asset management and microanalyzing that kind of thing, I do think it's important to look at asset management like that. So if you're big into that kind of thing, I can see why some of you guys may want to hold up with that. That's two. Thirdly, now we have to get to Duncan Robinson, his contract, and him as a player. Duncan Robinson is being paid $16.9 million this year, which isn't an overpay. Yes, he's being overpaid. But that honestly is not my biggest problem. My biggest problem is the fact that he's going to be under contract for three more seasons. And this contract is escalating too. It goes from 16 to 18 to 19 with a... early termination option for the 25-26 season. So he's going to be on contract for the next 3 years, and the contract slowly but surely going up and up and up. So what I'm saying here is this. If you had to pay Duncan Robinson for like the next 2 years at this price, I'd feel a lot better about it. I'd be more willing to do this trade. But the fact that he's taking up that kind of cap space for the next 3 years, remember, when we talk about all the free agents that, you know, on the past episodes, we've talked about outside DeAndre, not talking about Colin Sexton, Jalen Brunson, even some of the low-key signings, maybe possibly Mo Bamba or Gary Harris, all that I've always brought up to you guys repeatedly, over and over and over, I brought up to you guys how I don't want the Pistons to have any long-term salary on their cap books unless it's for a guy like DeAndre Ayton. I do not want them to have to sign some guy that's going to be on their contract or on their books and 24-25 or 25-26. Like, absolutely not. I want that to be free. I want them to be able to have flexibility. I want them to be able to make moves in the future. Because, again, I don't view this free agency class as that spectacular. And in a few years from now, you're going to, one, start paying the young guys. And two, in a few years from now, the team will be ready to win. And that's when you need to be able to push your chips into the table and bring in somebody with some of that flexibility and cap space that you have. So the fact that he's on that contract for three seasons instead of just like one or two, and it's also escalating each season, gives me real reason to pause right there. I really just don't want the Pistons to have a contract like that on the books for so long. Duncan Robinson, though, the player, I really do think he would solve a lot of things for them offensively. He's 6'8", 210, so he's not tiny. He gives them that length. He gives them the size. Now, technically, well, I mean, he's not that great defensively. He's not a good defender. We'll talk about that too. But he does figuratively give you that size and length at the wing position. You're not downgrading in size or anything. And again, like we talked about earlier, he directly addresses needs that the Pistons have from last season. They were historically awful on offense this past season before they made the trade for Marvin Bagley. They were horrific. They can't shoot the ball. No one can hit an open shot. They try to do dribble handoffs all the time, but they don't have guys, one, who can set screens with the dribble handoff, or two, that can hit shots off dribble handoffs. Duncan Robinson is one of the best at hitting shots off dribble handoffs. He's one of the best at coming off pin downs and shooting, one of the best catch and shooters in the NBA. He's simply one of the best shooters in the NBA in totality. So adding him to the Pistons and having him space the floor for Kay Cunningham would do wonders for their offense. But defensively, again, he is a major, maybe not a major, like, defensive liability, but he's not good. He's below average. Some people may actually call him poor defensively. I would say, you know, I haven't watched a ton of him, so I would say below average, but I wouldn't be shocked if some people called him a poor defender as well. And having him and Sadiq Bey, who Sadiq is not a great defender in and of itself, he's decent in like on the ball, but off ball, he has a lot of lapses. He crashes down and helps down a lot when he shouldn't be helping down. And even on ball, while he's okay, he's not great either. So at your wing positions, you have two guys who are not great defensively, not very good off ball wise, not very good on ball wise defensively. And at the wing position, that will get you killed. Now, there's another side of the argument, and I can see this too. This is why this trade is really, like, it's hard for me, because I'm saying this, but then the other side of the argument will be, well, the Pistons aren't really trying to make the playoffs anyways this year. He's going to help their offense. Yes, their defense will get worse, but at least their offense will be competent, and players will be able to develop on that side of the floor while the team loses, and players will be able to get better, basically, and the team will continue to lose, and they'll be able to have a top pick next year's draft. Isn't that, like, the best-case scenario? And I would sit back and be like, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good scenario too. But then also, it's just, there's so many back and forths, man. It's just, I'm very in the middle on this trade. In the end, though, I do think I'm leaning towards no. And it's not because of the defensive reasons, because I do tend to lean towards he brings what you need offensively. He'll help the Pistons have a stable offense, and that will help develop players on that side of the floor. If they take a step back defensively, so be it. That will help them get better as an offensive team, help their players develop, but also still lose games in order to get a top pick. I think that you saw that a lot in Troy Weaver's first season. He got a bunch of players together that the team wasn't good, but the team kind of – they had somewhat of a fit together. Like Mason Plumlee, I thought we talked about that on the podcast. Mason Plumlee was a nice signing. I thought he did great things for them as a big man, as a pick-and-roll threat for the point guards that were there. Killian Hayes ended up missing most of that season. But overall, I thought Troy Weaver did a good job in that first year of having a roster that wasn't great, but somewhat fit together where they could at least be competent on the floor. They weren't just out there just looking like they did last year. Now, last year, it was bad. Last year, not only were they not good, they just weren't competent. The roster didn't seem to fit at all. It was just all kinds of bad. Now, if Troy Weaver wanted to go out this year and do the same thing like he did his first year, make the roster competent to where they go out there and they compete and players are able to develop, because on the offensive side of the floor, you have adequate spacing and pieces that fit at least a little bit together, I'd be okay with that. I think Duncan Robinson would do that for you. However, again, the first round pick this year is not great. I'm okay with adding a first round pick and next year's first round pick. I'm okay with it, but the first round pick this year is not great. And again, the biggest reason is the fact that Duncan Robinson is under contract for 3 more seasons. If it was just 2, I think I would say yes to this trade. If it was just 2 seasons, I think it would be good, because I actually like Duncan Robinson. I think he'd do a lot of good things for the Pistons and help them in a lot of areas. I don't think, while he's overpaid, I don't think he's a cap casualty, because he would only be under contract for 2 years. I don't think it would be that big of a deal. 3 years, though, that's tough. That's tough. So I think I'd have to lean no. But also, if this was like the last possible trade on the table for Jeremy, I might shift over to leaning towards yes, but I have to believe that, like, you guys know this, you guys have been listening to the podcast. I have not believed that Jeremy Grant's value is as big as a lot of Pistons fans think it is. I think that they're going to have to settle for a mid-round pick. I think they're going to have to settle for things that Pistons fans are going to be really mad about. But this trade in particular, I do think that this would be towards the low end of the value for Jeremy Grant. So it would be tough. It would definitely cause me to pause. As of right now, if I had other offers on the table, I'd like to take other offers. But if this was the very last one we had on the table, I think it'd be really tough, man. I wouldn't want to be in Troy Weaver's shoes for this one, because I do think this would be a tough trade. If it was the last one, I think I'd have to lean yes. But also, man, it's tough. I don't really want that contract for 3 years, man. I think that's tough, though. That's really tough. Let me know what you guys think, though, man. If the 3 years contract, I think I have to say no. That's my final answer. I'm stamping it in. I have to say no to this trade because of it being 3 years. If it was a final trade being offered to us, maybe I'd consider it more, but still, 3 years, can't do it, man. Can't do it. Let me know what you guys think about that trade in the comment section down below and everything that comes with it. Do you think do you agree with the positives? Do you agree with the negatives? Do you think the positives outweigh the negatives? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill. When we come back, the NBA draft, 3 more days, guys. We're going to talk about who are the Pistons going to draft? Who are the betting favorites? Who do I think are the betting favorites? We'll talk about all that in the final segment. But first, you guys have to hear about some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast on our road to 3,000 subscribers. Continue to Locked On. We have the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. Again, hit that subscribe button. Or if you listen to this on the podcast and you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go down below and give me a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate it. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so draft 3 days away, man. It's coming fast, dude. It came really fast. I feel like time just flew by, dude. It felt like just a few days ago the lottery happened, and we were all arguing about whether the lottery was really that bad and all that. Like, time definitely flew by fast, man. But 3 days, and the Pistons have the 5th overall pick. I think the draft really does start at 4. We talked about that a lot with what the Kings decide to do if they decide to trade it. Are they going to try to play a game of chicken with teams behind them because of Keegan Murray, et cetera, et cetera? We've talked about all that in the last episode and a few episodes last week. So if you want to hear more in-depth things about that, go listen to those episodes. But according to BetOnline, here are the betting favorites for that 5th overall pick for the Detroit Pistons. At the runaway favorite right now is Keegan Murray at minus 120. Then they got Jaden Ivey at plus 250. Bennedict Mathurin at plus 475. Shaden Sharp at plus 650. And Dyson Daniels at plus 1,400. Now, I'll tell you this. You guys know that I'm a Shaden Sharp guy. I think Shaden Sharp should beat the pick. But I'm telling you guys right now, I think you guys might as well just go ahead and X him off the consideration. I don't think the Pistons are considering him at all. I don't think he's even again, I don't think he's going to be considered at all. So go ahead and just X him off. Do not put money on Shaden Sharp. If you go to BetOnline.net, do not put money on Shaden Sharp. It's not happening at 5. It's not going to happen. If that happens, we're going to have to do something crazy on the podcast. I'm telling you guys right now, wink, wink, elbow, nudge, nudge. Shaden Sharp will not be the pick at 5 for the Detroit Pistons. So now that brings 4 other players. And I think everyone is kind of accepting Keegan Murray to be the pick. You guys already know how I feel about Keegan Murray. He'd probably be a nice player out the gate. His ceiling, I seriously question it. And again, I've said this multiple times in the podcast. It's kind of a joke, kind of not really, though. You can get a Cam Johnson in free agency, calling Keegan Murray Cam Johnson. The Pistons can get one of those guys in free agency. You can afford to pay like $10, $15 million on a guy like that in free agency when you need him. What the Pistons can't do is go after a superstar in free agency. What they can't do is go after a star in free agency. What they can't do is get an all-star in free agency. It just hasn't happened for the Detroit Pistons in their history. A lot of you guys get mad when I say that. That's just simply the case. Like, listen, I love Detroit. I love the Pistons. All of us love Detroit. But the simple, if just being objective and realistic, which is what you have to be, the Pistons are not a free agent destination. They're not going to pull superstars. They're not going to pull stars. They're not going to pull all-stars in free agency. It's not going to happen. They might be able to pull guys like DeAndre Ayton, who haven't been an all-star yet, that eventually turn into an all-star. But guys who are already all-stars and stars and stuff, they're not coming to Detroit. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened. So that's why I'm against getting Keegan Murray. We can get a Keegan Murray in free agency. What we can't get is a star. So I would not want Keegan Murray, but I do think that he should be the betting favorite. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Pistons dupes pick him. Jaden Ivey, I think Jaden Ivey completely relies on what and honestly, Jaden Ivey and Keegan Murray both fall in this category. They both rely completely on what Sacramento does it for. And again, we talked about this a lot more in depth last week. And in this last episode, and I believe it was last week with Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast. But basically, the overall thought is that Sacramento likes Keegan Murray a ton. They also want to trade that 4th pick and get additional assets because they think, or at least they did think, they could move back and get Keegan Murray. But now, because they know a lot of teams want Jaden Ivey at 4, so they thought they would be able to get Jaden Ivey or get a trade done at 4, where they can move back in the draft, let that team get Ivy, get additional assets, and then get Keegan Murray by falling back. But now it seems like, and who knows, maybe Troy Reaver's putting up the best smoke screens of all time, and it works. But it sounds like the Pistons are going to take Keegan Murray at 5 if he's there. So now the Kings know that if they trade back, they're not going to get Keegan Murray. So now the Kings have kind of lost the little power that they had. There are some recent reports that the Kings are, you know, they're interested in doing this and doing that. Basically, I told you guys when it happened. I feel like that's the Kings leaking that out and lying, trying to gain some of that leverage back, because I do think that they've lost that leverage. Now that it sounds like the Pistons will get Keegan Murray, a lot of teams, I feel like, will know that they're not really – they don't want to go backwards because they want Keegan Murray. So they're kind of in a tough position. Do they take Keegan Murray at 4? Do they call the Pistons bluff and move back still and try to get Keegan Murray and just hope that he falls to them? Like, they're in a tough position. Do they just take Jaden Ivey? Do they trade that fourth pick to a team that wants Jaden Ivey and get additional assets? Kings are in a tough, tough position. And it depends on what they do with those two guys. So I think if the Kings take Keegan Murray at 4 and just say, screw it, we're not going to risk it, I think Pistons take Jaden Ivey. If the Kings take Jaden Ivey or trade the pick to someone who gets Jaden Ivey, I think Keegan Murray, yes, should be the betting favorite. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Benedict Mathurin. I've kind of gotten a little bit higher on him. We talked about that again in an episode last week. I really like his fit next to Kate Cunningham. I do think he has a little bit of a higher ceiling than Keegan Murray. I also don't think he's that – I don't think he has that low of a floor either. I think he'll at least be a role player in the NBA. And like I said, I think he has a little bit of a higher ceiling than Keegan Murray. I could see him becoming closer to an all-star type of player at his absolute peak if everything went right for him. He keeps that size for the Pistons as well at the off-guard position, around 6'5", 6'6". He's a big, strong dude, and he's really explosive as well. So I really like him. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pistons draft him. But there's one name that I want to talk about that is kind of rising up the boards that I do want to say you guys should keep an eye on. Wink, wink, elbow, elbow, nudge, nudge. Excuse me. And that's Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels is a name that you guys should be watching. I would not be shocked if two things happened here for the Pistons. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pistons drafted Dyson Daniels at 5. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pistons traded back to draft Dyson Daniels, collect an additional asset to it with another team. Let's say the Kings take Ivey at 4. Let's say the Kings take Murray at 4. Now all the teams that want Ivey talking to the Pistons at 5. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pistons found a way to trade back at 5 and get additional draft pick and then take Dyson Daniels. They like Dyson Daniels. I can tell you guys that. And he's a guy that's been rising up the boards across the league. You're kind of seeing him rise up across the board. I can tell you the Pistons do like him. And I wouldn't be shocked if they found a way to get him in this draft, whether that was at 5 or, again, like I said, trading back. So it's going to be really interesting. The draft starts at 4. It all depends on what Sacramento decides to do at 4. I think that will decide what Detroit does with their pick. It's going to be interesting, man, but keep an eye on these guys. These are the betting favorites right here. And again, keep your eye on Dyson Daniels. I would not be shocked if he ended up being the pick somewhere for the Detroit Pistons. Let me know what you guys think down below. Who are you guys leaning towards with 3 days left to the NBA draft? Who do you guys want the Pistons to draft? Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. That's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening to today's podcast. Thank you for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. It's the best way to support the podcast on our road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown with the best and fast scoring fan base at the Lockdown Network. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts. The draft experts have locked on NBA Big Board, the 5-episode Ultimate Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate Mock Draft your second listen today. And if you don't know where to find it, last week's episode on Friday on the podcast, if you're listening on YouTube or watch it on YouTube, you won't see it. But if you want to go to the podcast version on Friday, it was published on the Lockdown Pistons channel. So if you want to hear how the first 5 picks went and who we selected and how the order went, Friday's episode, that was the Ultimate Mock Draft. Go check that out if you're interested in that. But until next time, again, let me know who you guys want the Pistons select in the NBA draft, how you guys are feeling right now, how you guys feel about that Miami Heat possible trade. Do you think there's any deal to be done with Miami possible? I know there's going to be a lot of you guys who just feel like Miami can't really make a trade. So, again, let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, everybody. Have fun and go Pistons.